There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
You're listening to Drive Live. It's Sunday and we're going to focus on after-school activities and summer camps.
Drive Live talks education.
We have three guests in the studio with us. We have Kerry Ward-Jones, who's a regional manager at North Star Tourism. Thanks for joining us again, Kerry.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And we also have Helen Steadman, who's a key accounts manager at Strike Sports. Helen, good to have you on the programme.
Thank you for having me.
And we also have Ilham Sebti, who's the owner of Science Made Fun. Welcome back to the programme, Ilham.
Thank you.
Good to have you all here. Now, we said it's about after-school activities and summer camps, and it can get to that time of year when children are getting a little bit more restless, let's say, to put it nicely. And I think it's important to keep them from boredom is one thing we need to look at. And in Dubai, you can't always drop your kids off with their cousins, their relatives. Lots of us are in a very unique situation. So why do you think it's really important to keep children occupied? Helen, I'll start with you. Why do you think it's important that we give children these activities beyond school, beyond sort of doing chores around the house? Why is it so important to keep them active?
Sure. Well, I myself come from a sports background, so I know how it is when you're stuck at home. Living in Dubai, where it's hot as well, I think it's really important that children can do these activities outdoors and indoors as well. So I think it's just important that, you know, they're active from a young age and keeping fit, because, you know, Dubai is one of those countries where you have to get in a car and go somewhere else, and then get into AC indoors. You don't have a chance to walk around much. So I think for the children, I think it's really important that they get their chance, instead of playing outside in a park, that they can do those activities in schools on their doorstep, and right after the school hours for them.
And Ilham, you are all about making science fun, obviously, with the name, but you do really encourage people to get involved, especially children. You want them to touch things and play with things, don't you?
Yeah, of course, with the interaction with social media that has exploded those days, actually. Mm. All the kids are with tablets and they're on the phone, and it doesn't encourage interaction and emotional intelligence for the kids. So, and also motor skills.
Okay? Yeah.
So, I mean, offering them an activity that they can use their motor skills, and also give them interaction with other peers, and so they can deal with their disputes and grow. That's it, really another chance too. So instead of staying at home and just being on your own on the tablets, which is a bit difficult now.
And the thing that struck me last time we spoke to you is you're so passionate about science. When I was at school, science seemed very difficult to me personally. I didn't really understand all of it, and I didn't understand the application, but you're very much into making it practical, aren't
yes,
you?
Yes, we sing songs for like bones. I mean, you see like kids singing, this bones is attached to this one. So I'm also learning with them because it's really, really fun. And I just learned how to do slimes and how to do chemical reaction, create gummy candies. And I'm also learning, still learning on science.
Yeah.
So it's absolutely like fun. They can just see like real insects, touch them, count their antennas and stuff. So it's nice to
slime,
make it this way.
Slime definitely would have appealed to me more than some of the science classes I definitely went through. So, Kerry, you are regional manager at North Star Tourism. Just talk us through why it's so important. You do a lot of work with schools. They maybe bring a class to you and you guide them through outdoor pursuits. Why is it so important that children are exposed to that kind of thing outside of their normal classroom environment?
Well, yeah, I think I'm just touched on it a bit, really, with the getting away from technology and creating those real relationships and developing the real, like, wider world skills, like communication skills, obviously, and working with people they've never met before. They really get a bit more confident about meeting people from different backgrounds. Problem solving skills, like we do a lot of problem solving games, etc., with our camps, and but we do also a lot of rock climbing, kayaking, and it's about getting students out of their comfort zone, getting them to try new things. You always don't know what's going to be their passion, your children's passions, where they're going to come from. For example, a parent asked me recently where to get equipment for archery.
Wow.
Because their son had done so well at the archery session, yeah, and he really wanted to pursue it further, and, you know, it might be the next Olympic archer, who knows.
It'd be nice to hear, wouldn't it? I mean, this is the thing, isn't it? You said comfort zones there and getting kids out of their comfort zones, but I suppose kids are coming to North Star, for example, and you take them on a hike or a ramble over mountains, and for some kids, they'll never have done it. It's a completely new experience.
No, it can be a bit, it's definitely...
Can I do it? And I can't walk 2 miles. Well, of course you can.
And it's amazing, the difference from day two, from day one, with their very first day. It's it's also sometimes because they've decided to bring 4 pairs of shoes with them as well. and they suddenly realise that they don't need any extra shoes. It's about working as a team, and they realise how much they can do for each other, and they don't need to rely on adults all the time. That's definitely a big part of the learning curve.
Some of these activities are very interesting though, because they're on your doorstep but you don't realise it. There, I remember being in primary school, my mum's a teacher and she had an outdoor pursuits class or week and she had to take me with her because that was her job, and I went with her. And some of these children, we drove half an hour outside of Manchester and they'd never seen the countryside, as what they called it. It's very similar here. People go from malls to shops to schools, and to just be taken outside of the classroom and outside of maybe Dubai a little bit further, you see that there's lots on offer. What kind of reaction do you get, Helen, from children maybe trying activities that they've never tried before or even heard of?
Sure. Well, a lot of our activities, our main activities, are tennis, gymnastics, and football with Barcelona Football Academy. So they are quite popular activities. So we did introduce 2 years ago the Rhythmic Gymnastics Academy, which has really blossomed over the last year, actually. We have over around 56 children now starting that. So, with the children unsure about what they want to do, so it's actually really nice for the children to decide themselves and not the parents. So some activities like squash that we've just introduced into schools, which we are the first company to do that here in the UAE, seeing their faces for the first time trying that activity, it's like, wow, they want to sign up for more. And that's hence why we've opened the academies as well, because not only do they just want the 1 hour of that specific activity for after school activities, they want to then do more of it, which is why we've opened the doors for the academies as well.
Drive Live Talks Education.
We have 3 guests in the studio for Drive Live Talks Education today. We have Ilham Sebti, who's the owner of Science Made Fun. We also have Helen Stedman, who's a key account manager at Strike Sports, and Kerry Ward-Jones, who's the regional manager of North Star Tourism. And we've been talking about doing after school activities and summer camps. That's our topic today. One of the things we want to touch on was how it sort of helps children in terms of teamwork, friendship, confidence, maybe discovering your likes and dislikes. I know, Helen, you said what's great is when the children come to you and they pick some of these activities themselves. It's an opportunity for them to go, okay, I'll try A, B, C and D, and then I'll go home and say to mum and dad, look, I really didn't like doing that, but I really love this. Can we maybe do a bit more?
Absolutely, yeah. I think it's important that the children get the choice of the activities that they are going to be taking part in. We touched base previously about, getting out of their comfort zone and meeting new people and building new friendships and things like that. It's also the parents' choice of where they want their children to go after school and things like that. But as we are offering these activities on their doorstep in schools, the children get a chance to meet other people in different age groups depending on those ages and things like that. But it's really important that the children get their chance to choose the activities they want to do. So for example, if they wanted to do tennis but their parents wanted to do football, we are giving also trial sessions as well in the odd schools depending on the agreement with those, so the children get the chance to choose what they want to do. So It's their choice at the end of the day.
And Tim, children can be a bit fickle. I know I loved doing netball one day, volleyball the next day, gymnastics a different day.
Whatever would you say
day.
Children are fickle?
Because you have two.
Yes, on occasion they are. Yeah. Possibly. My little girl never got anything. She just jumps in, so she'll do gymnastics if she gets a chance. Netball is probably her thing now, but she does all kinds of things. But it is that thing, and I think what's really important to get across is take her example, she's 11, when she's being pushed out of her comfort zone and she's growing and she's building in confidence. She's a confident girl, but when it's something completely new and you know as a parent that it's a good thing, that you broaden your horizons and maybe try squash, for example, let's take that. It's daunting, isn't it, Kerry, for kids?
It is daunting, especially when they're working with people they've never met before. Yeah. And it takes them a bit of time to warm up. And that's why it's good to have professional instructors who've got experience in leading that as well, and people who can facilitate good group work. But students who do go on camps and do a lot of after school activities do definitely have a lot more confidence and are much more equipped to be leaders, really. And I found that, actually I was a teacher before I worked for North Star, I found that when students were writing their CVs ready for applying for university, that it would be the camps or their teams that they played in out after school that they referred to when it was like, give an example of when you've been a team leader, give an example of when you've been independent. And it's those experiences outside of the classroom that they often draw upon on their CVs.
And I know you mentioned it's something that they can maybe put down on application forms, but on a real practical level, lots of us here in Dubai are very well looked after. Some people, particularly families, might have someone to help. There might be someone that does the laundry. Someone coming on a school camp, Kerry, going away for a week, the teachers are there, members of your team would be there, but they're having to learn how to pack their clothes, fold them, choose their outfits, and that can be quite a shock.
Yeah, it's definitely a new experience for them, and to think about, have I brushed my teeth today? And it's definitely all quite daunting. They pack their own bags to go for the day, perhaps just remembering their water bottle. And at first, sometimes, you know, it takes quite a bit of patience, I think, when you're leading a trip, to be like, has everybody got their water bottle? Has everybody put on sunscreen? And you just got to allow time for that. And they do pick it up, and they do very quickly learn to look after themselves, especially when we do the desert camps. We do a lot of the Duke of Edinburgh expeditions in the desert. And the first time they come, they will find it difficult to think about, oh right, perhaps I'll set my tent up first would be the sensible thing to do before it gets dark. But their first time, they might not realise that, and have spent an hour and a half cooking a pot noodle and realise that it's too dark to put their tent up. So yeah, it's good for them to learn by doing.
And Ilham, you work with some younger children, don't you? Talk us through some of the benefits of the programmes that you offer in terms of what the children can get out of it.
Yes, it's like coming back to the children trying their new things. Actually, what we offer is an after-school activity called Which Scientist Are You? So all the kids will try different area of science. So one week they will be a chemist, the other week will be a physician, after it's biologist. So they will try all area of science, and then they come back and say, I prefer to be a chemist, I prefer to be a biologist, etc. So it's also allowing them to touch base on all area of science and not just putting science into one umbrella. So for example, in biology class, they had to dissect the heart. They have never gonna touch the heart in their life, and it was a sheep heart, and it's like, how could it be? And how can, so it was nice to do. So insectology also, it was nice. So they could like really see a real crotches, etc., and then study them and see them and bring them home. Sometimes parents were not happy about, but it's nice. So that's about the science part of it, and experimenting, and also pushing the kids to develop and seek something else.
And you know, and you say about the cockroaches, Zina mentioned her little girl has been somewhere and touched a cockroach, and there's something quite cute about an age where you're not frightened. I think as adults we hear the word cockroach and we're terrified, but young children are like, yeah, I want to know what that feels like. Yeah. I want to touch it. I want to understand. So, I mean, what's the reaction like when you introduce the cockroaches?
I mean, actually, first, we just have to ask them, the kids, who wants crutches? And nobody, like, only boys, a couple of boys raise their hands. I want crutches back home with me today, because it's insectology class and they have to learn about insects and all these antennas and things like that. So, but when we try to give the, like, after this, the class finishes, like, everybody wants to take one home because they're not scared anymore. They've learned some lot of things about it, and they've seen that the other kids are playing with them, taking them back home, etc. So everybody, we just finished the stock at the end, so just give all the crutches away because kids were so excited about it. So so right. First is like no, and after, okay, yes, that's nice, which is good,
isn't it? Great. I think if my kids came home with a pet cockroach, I might have something to say. But the point is, and the nice thing about all of this, these Madagascan cockroaches, we were talking about them off air, is that it's about experience, isn't it?
Exactly.
And it's just about exposing children to new things. And effectively, you start to break down barriers. A science class for some children, Ilham, is probably daunting. Science is quite hard to grasp for lots of kids. And if you can start to break it down that way, mm-hmm. then you've got potentially scientists for life.
Of course. Inspiring them to be a scientist is beautiful. I mean, seeing a video of a girl learning how she writes down the eye, the whole iris, etc., how she learns about it, how she's so passionate about biology, and seeing them singing and things like that, this is what's inspiring. It's just like things that they cannot really experience totally in class, and see like skeleton, things like that. So we bring these things to them after school, in after school activities, and letting them discover and be inspired. That's the best part of it.
We're talking education. Three guests in the studio today. We have Ilham Sebti, who's the owner of Science Made Fun. We have Kerry Ward-Jones, who's the regional manager of North Star Tourism, and Helen Steadman, who's a key account manager at Strike Sports.
Yeah, thanks NLT, Natalie Lindo-Taylor.
No problem.
Here's a text in, right? We were talking just now about how if kids are out of their comfort zone doing activities, be that activities in camps or something slightly different from the norm, and a point was made that is it not reasonable to say that activities in camps can make future leaders? Somebody texts in and says, show us the proof for that, because this person says, the studies I think show that kids in permanent activities like football, netball, etc., contribute to being leaders. Reasonable point, because the more you can dominate in a sport or grow in a sport, the more your confidence grows, the more maybe perhaps you're ready to lead. But I would sort of add to this, and I'm interested particularly with what you would think, Kerry, because you run activities and camps on a regular basis for kids that are slightly different. Do you not think that this is a chance for kids who perhaps wouldn't shine in something like football or netball, for example, to find something that they wouldn't ordinarily find and maybe shine? Perhaps they're great at hiking and leading their friends on a hike, for example. Is that something that you see?
Definitely, I see it quite a lot, actually. And sometimes it's linked to because they might not be achieving at school because of their behaviour as well sometimes. And so to find something like an expedition where they've learnt to navigate, and the practical skills being their forte, really does enable them to go back to school with a lot more confidence. And gone around it a bit there.
No, that's fine. I'm not trying to say that it breeds leaders of the future, and I'm not trying to say that because you can navigate during a hike that you're going to become the head of the next blue chip corporation. But it is allowing a child who perhaps wouldn't normally lead in an instance at school, in an activity at school, perhaps gets the chance to show what they're worth in a slightly different way.
Yeah, it's definitely the case. For some reason, a student of mine that I remember used to run away from lessons, and I remember actually a deputy head running after her through the corridor once. And actually on camp, she was the first student up in the morning, making sure that the litter was all sorted without any prompting. So just being at a different context meant that she was able to shine as a leader on that trip, and it just meant that her relationships with her teachers improved as well, and just there was a bit more understanding perhaps. Or
it's like your confidence, once your confidence in doing something else is there, you maybe settle in the other areas and aspects of your life. There's something that we did want to get to, because we're running very close to time now. The price, let's be honest, VAT's come in. There's lots of competition for parents' money, whether it's after school activities, summer camps, school trips as part of the curriculum. Parents are always feeling, a lot of the time, money, money, money. But at the end of the day, you also having to operate on cost. So Ilham, how has it felt for you since VAT has come in? Have you seen a difference? Do parents say it's expensive?
I mean, for the VAT, we are not entitled to take it this year for us as a company. So we have not included in our price, and we have not raised our price. But of course, we have to pay it for the schools. So this is part of VAT. For the price of the after school activities, I wish I can reduce it for the parents. I wish I'm going to try to really reduce it as much as I can. But the thing is that we should take into consideration is that some schools are taking a big cut of our revenues. It can varies from 15 to the lowest to 40% of what we're making. So parents are not aware of it. Parents, they think that whatever money are we collecting, it's for us, which is not true. So, I mean, we give 15 to 40% of what we're making to schools. So it's important for the parents to know, because in Europe, for example, this thing, such a thing is not happening. I mean, like you're operating in school, they give you a school room and it's like they don't even charge you for it. So, yeah. Which makes it lower for the parents to pay for the price of activities. So this is one of the things that is really affecting our costs. And of course, we really want to struggle to really keep the quality there because it's a quality science service, etc. So we need to pay people that are qualified to do this job. So it's a struggle. It's been like 2.5 years and it's a journey and we're learning all the time, but it's the way it is and I'm Absolutely. Happy to continue.
And Helen, very briefly, do you think, you know, parents understand the transaction? Okay, it's expensive, but their children are getting something for it at the end.
Yeah, I do. I think, you know, the retention level being in the market since 2008, we do have regular customers coming back to us. Otherwise, we would be here. But I think they understand. And I do think they understand the, you know, difficulties that Ilham has mentioned previously of the costs that the companies have to pay the school, you know, the provider and so on. I think it needs to be discussed a little bit more from maybe the school's point of view and their side to the parents that, you know, we are external providers and we are having to do the scheduling, collect the money and things like that. So it's quite a lot of elements that we have to deal with in order to provide the service, to create the quality and for the children at the end of the day to get the best service possible. So I think it's something that can be promoted a little bit more to parents, but I do think they're starting to understand as after school activities is becoming quite popular throughout the whole of the UAE.
That's all we've got time for on Drive Live Talks Education today. Big thank you to our guest, Helen Steadman, who you just heard, Key Accounts Manager at Strike Sports. Also, thank you to Ilham Sebti, who's the owner of Science Made Fun. Thank you. And thank you to Kerry Ward-Jones, who's a Regional Manager of North Star Tourism. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.